Amen. Well, you can be seated, and I just want to welcome you here today. I am Pastor Keith, and I want to welcome you to Revive Wesleyan Springville Crossing Campus, where today we are continuing a short sermon series that's coming off of Easter, and it's a sermon series called Reverse the Curse. Because you see, sin, original sin, cursed everything. And our personal sins today continue to be a curse upon us and a curse upon others. And thus, to start this series off last week, we looked at the depth of the impact of sin, in that sin leads to death, and it separates us from God. And it's an active force, something trying to take us down, in other words. And we talked about how at the end of the day, sin is what? It is a slave driver. So we spent a fair amount of time just laying all that out last week, but then we started to unpack how the good news of Jesus Christ combats or reverses that. It doesn't even combat it, it's won. It reverses that. And the good news is that Jesus Christ broke the curse of sin for all who call upon him as Lord and Savior. We realized last week that that is why he died. He died for our sins, according to 1 Corinthians 15, which we covered last week. And speaking of last week, quickly, I just want to let you all know that each week, okay, starting on Monday of that week, you can go online under the Springville area of our Revive Wesleyan website, and you can listen to the audio sermon from the prior Sunday. But anyway, Jesus, he died for our sins, okay? And then Romans 10:13 says this. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from the curse. Saved from the consequences of the curse. And set on a new path. Now that is good news. And with that said, today, I got to tell you, today is a very special day in the life of Revive Wesleyan as we celebrate alongside our other campuses 12 people being baptized in the name of the Lord across our campuses, right? Now, with that said, we have none here, but we have some at our McKinley, at our South Creek, and at our East Aurora locations. And in fact, and this is exciting to me, and I think it should be for you too, we have the first out of what I trust will be many baptisms at our East Aurora campus that launched during COVID less than a year ago, okay? And I got to tell you, all 12 of these people being baptized are people who have called on the name of the Lord to be saved. To be saved and to receive the reversal of the curse that is found in Jesus Christ and is found in no other. And thus, to signify or to symbolize that and to like draw a line in the sand, they are being baptized today. And I got to tell you something. As a staff, we have termed stories of people accepting Christ and growing in their relationship and in their following of him, we have termed them as a staff revive stories. And so I'm telling you what, each one of these 12 people, think about it, they are a story of revival. And so we celebrate. We celebrate with them as they are a part of our extended church family. And then here today in Springville, well, we are going to get to hear a revived story from someone who has just been tenacious, okay? I think about this guy. The words that come to my mind are tenacious, diligent, patient, and steadfast in doing what we say that we do as a church. Because he has been pursuing the Father, pursuing God. And the Father has been working with him recently. And you should be excited to hear about that in just a few minutes. But first, let me just share this with you. Perhaps some of the most encouraging and hope-filled words that you will ever hear. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is where, church? The old has gone, and the new is here. Now, I think that you can imagine that the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, was doing so I can imagine that he was reflecting on his own experience with Jesus. You see, Paul had a radical conversion experience because as he was on his way to persecute followers of Jesus in Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus. Let's look at that at Acts 9, verse 3 to 6. It says this, "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' Now Saul was Paul's name before Jesus changed it. But then Saul asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus who you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up, Saul, and go into the city and you will be told what you must do.'" Now this right here, what we just read, was the pivotal moment in Paul's life. And as we can see, Paul's encounter with Jesus was dramatic. It was life-changing. And from this moment on, he was a new person. You might say he was a new creation, right? And being a new creation, it had implications for his life. Mainly, the old has gone, and the new is here. And I want us to just really think about that for a second. Because, you know, a lot of times as Christians, we talk about how we are on a journey of change, a journey of transformation, a journey of growth into Christ-likeness, which is called sanctification, which is a real thing, okay? And we are all to be on such a journey. And it is one where we never arrive this side of heaven, and we still make mistakes, even sin, okay? But we have been forgiven, and we have someone to go to when we do. His name is Jesus, and he forgives us, and he helps us. But with that said, you and I have to know, okay? We have to know and we have to believe that God, he is also in the business, church, of just striking something out and taking the old and making it new. He is also in the business of just turning us, you and I, around and setting us in a new direction. What I mean is he is also in the business of, get this, healing. He is in the business of healing us of, for example, the things that we do that are not good for us, that are not good for others. He has the power to strike out our desire to engage in this sin or that. He has that power, okay? And our role is to ask him for it. And our role is to surrender and to believe that he can do it and receive what he brings. And at the end of the day, we have to be willing to participate with him in our healing. And a huge part of which is to trust him. To trust him in his way. Trust him in his timing of turning all of that around. We got to trust him in that. And we've got to stay hungry for him. We've got to stay hungry for him over anything else. And when healing comes, okay, then we do all that we can do to not pick it back up. Whatever that thing was that he has just struck out from us. For he, God, I'm telling you, he is in the business of sending out the old and ushering in the new. And if we don't believe that he can do it, or if we don't believe that he has done it, then we have a tendency in our humanity to pick that thing back up again. But in our scripture, it says again, the old is where, church? It's gone. And gone is gone. Gone is gone. And let me ask you this, would you ever trade in your old car for a nice brand new one, and they'll go back to the dealer maybe a short time later and want the old one back? No, right? Not likely. That would be, excuse me, but likely stupid, okay? I say that to say this. Let's treat yesterday as we should. Let's treat yesterday as yesterday and the old as we should, gone. And let's embrace the new. Let's embrace his new for our life. And you see, for this Pharisee Saul, who once persecuted Christians, well, he was transformed rapidly. It was like a transaction took place versus a gradual transformation. showing us again, testifying to us that God is in the business of that too. And he wasn't even asking God for it. He wasn't even asking God for it. So how much more of a chance do you and I have for hope? We have a lot, right? Because why? Because we can ask him for it. So do you believe? Do you believe he has the power to do that? To remove the old from you and to bring something new? And thus for Saul, instead of his life, think about this, instead of his life being marked as a persecutor and a murderer and an antagonist of the gospel, he became Jesus' instrument to spread said gospel all throughout Asia Minor and into Europe. Make no mistake about it, church, Paul's life was completely changed, and rather quickly at that. What he thought about changed. His friend group changed. And think about it, how he spent his time, how he spent his energy. It did what, church? It changed, didn't it? For he was truly a new creation. And he embraced it fully. Will you? Will I? So yes, going back to what I said earlier, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I am certain that he had his own experience with Jesus in mind. And I also imagine that it was his desire that many, many others would have the same or a similar experience. And truth be told, many of us have. And many of us can. All of us can. He who will share with us here today in Springville has. And although likely not many of us could say that we have had something as dramatic as Paul's experience, many of us have had a similar and equally amazing experience where we have committed to follow Jesus as maybe a parent or a friend or even a pastor shared the gospel with us. And as that person did, you know as well as I do that something changed. Something changed in your heart. It was perhaps strangely warmed. And you committed to following Jesus. And you asked him to be the Lord of your life. And he saved you. He saved you from your sin. And you now are a new creation. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Because you are. Because when someone commits to following Jesus with their life, that right there, okay, in and of itself, that right there is a miracle. Because think about it again. A life, okay? A life that was once destined to death, eternal death, a godless eternity, now instead has the promise of eternal life. And I will say, becoming a new creation, it also has ramifications in this life too. It is not something that is simply for someday, but it is also for now. It is to impact your and my now. It is that far-reaching. It is that powerful. He, God, through Jesus, is that far-reaching. He is that powerful. We can have a hope-filled life now. And we are to be a part of God's redemptive work, church, in this world. Now. Living a life that points others to Jesus. When? Now. By how we treat them. By how we speak to them. By what we do for them. Yet we must remember, okay, it is all about him and not us. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians 5:18, which comes right after the truth of God that we just saw that in him we are new and the old is gone. It says this. All of this is from who, church? It's from God. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, God, in his great mercy, he made a way for people, for you, for me, for all. He made a way for people to be made new. And through Jesus, we can pursue the Father. That's what we were made for. And through Jesus, we can have life. And through Jesus, we are set free. Free. Free from sin. And through Jesus, we are brought into a right relationship with God the Father, and we are set on a path, a new path, where we now proclaim Jesus. For we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, which means we are to take what we know about Jesus and tell others in word and in deed. And baptism, which again we celebrate today across our campuses, is the outward act that symbolizes a person being made new, new in Christ, a new creation. And it communicates that the person believes that Jesus Christ is real, that Jesus Christ was God incarnate, that Jesus Christ came to be the sacrificial means by which those who believe can be once and forever reconciled to God and, yes, church, made new. And the purpose of baptism is to give a visual testimony of one's commitment to that. That he, Christ, was born. That he, Christ, lived, but he died. And he was buried, but then he rose again. So I say that to say this. The people being baptized today at our other campuses, they are just making a statement that yes, yes, I am a new creation. And I want all that God has for me. And they are really agreeing to try to do all that they can do to follow him, not to earn anything, but out of thanks, you see. Out of thanks for such a demonstration of love that Christ was and that Christ is. Now, with that, again, we do not have any baptisms here this morning. Our next one, just so you know, it's going to be August 14th. Please see me if you are interested in that. And know that we will share more about that, more details as it gets closer, and we'll tell you how to get involved in that and to take that next step in your faith journey. But right now, we are going to hear from a guy that I love, and you should too. It is Brandon. Brandon, would you please come up here? Now, I did get to baptize Brandon several years ago now, but he has had a fresh touch from the Lord, and so I asked him if he would be willing to share with us today just a little bit regarding that, to encourage us, to help us celebrate with him what the Lord has done. And I want you to hear that. It's what the, who has done? The Lord. What he has done. But Brandon, you know what? Brandon has received that. So Brandon, they're all yours. It's all on.
Thank you, Keith.
Yep.
Keith first asked me to share a little bit today. I was very reluctant, to be honest with you. So parts of my story are very personal, and I tend to get emotional. I wasn't really sure if I wanted to share that with everybody, although most of the faces are familiar. You know, I admit that I don't have very close relationships with a lot of people here. But then Keith told me what the verse that today's message was based on, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I could no longer deny the fact that this is what really spoke to me, because I'll tell you a little bit of the story here. But first, I want to, you know, say thanks for the encouragement before, Keith. He gave me one word, one sentence of advice: just don't blow it. So I'm like, wow, that's great. Thanks. I feel awesome. And then he said all these nice things about me, and I'm like, I don't know who he's talking about. But yeah, so start with just a little bit of humor. Many years ago, I remember driving down Main Street on a Sunday and seeing a bunch of people outside here, and you had some signs out, and everybody was getting ready to, I don't know if they were coming or going from church, and I have to admit, I drove by and I said, huh, the latest group of Christian fanatics just came to Springville. I said, and what is wrong with these people? They can't even meet in a real church. Well, here I am, folks, and very glad to be here, by the way. But, yeah, so take you back to 2013, 2014. Unfortunately, I was spending some time in state prison. And for large portions of that time, I didn't have much to do. And getting a hold of reading material was somewhat difficult at times. And somebody gave me a copy of the New Testament. It was the only thing I had to read for quite a bit of time. And there was also some other monkey business that was going on elsewhere in the prison. And for 2 weeks, I was I didn't get out myself. I didn't, no fresh air, no cafeteria, no nothing. And I read the New Testament cover to cover. First time I actually really, really read the Word. And a lot of it was just words. It was meaningless. Nothing really spoke to me until I came across 2 Corinthians 5:17. And my light bulb went off. And I said, wow, there is hope for me. And that was the first verse that I actually memorized. And looking back at it, I'm convinced that a little period of my life was God's way of getting my attention and saying, you know, you got a lot of other distractions in your life. You're not even looking at me. I'm going to put you someplace nice and quiet where you don't have really anything else to do but talk to me. So sometimes I always say, be careful what you ask for, because, you know, unfortunately, I'm the guy that needs to get hit with the 2x4, not the little twig. I get out of doing my time here, and I'm also going through a divorce, and I'm not living at home anymore, and I'm going to call him out by name because he's not here to defend himself. I run into Rob Rosenzweig at the gym, who was a high school classmate of mine, and I have not really kept in contact with him throughout the years. And I saw him at the gym. He says, hey, Brandon, how you doing? Good to see you. And I says, well, you know, Rob, I'm really not doing that good. I just spent a year in prison. I'm getting divorced. I'm living in an apartment, and I had to borrow money from my mom for a down payment, and I don't even have any furniture. I'm sleeping on an old mattress that my kids didn't even want to use in the middle of the living room. And, you know, Rob was kind of gave me that look like, oh, sorry I asked. Yeah, and he says, well, you know, he says, do you go to church? And I says, well, I was trying, but kind of awkward now because my ex-wife and kids were going to church and I wasn't really comfortable to attend the same church. And he says, well, why don't you come with me on Sunday? And that's my first exposure to the crossing. And I share that story with you because you never know what simple little encouragement that we all can say that might plant the seed in somebody and lead them to more involvement in the church. And, you know, I'm looking out here and I'm looking at a lot of friends of mine in here and going, this is pretty cool. And I didn't really, I'm pretty private about my faith and whatnot, but I think actions speak louder than words for those of us that don't like to you know, stand on the corner and advertise. But Keith asked me to do this because I shared a story with him after watching The Chosen. We had lunch to talk about some other things, and I told him that I was moved to tears watching The Chosen right off the bat, very first episode where he touches Mary, and she is miraculously healed. And I was sitting somewhere up there crying my eyes out because I said, that's what I feel like. I've been touched. Thank you. And it happened on a Thursday. On a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, when I was opening my second 12-pack for the day. And God talked to me and said, he said, hey, man, you do not have to do this anymore, and you don't have to do it alone, which is a nice little segue to verse 5:18. That's the part that took me a long time to get, that all this is through God. I would come to God, things would start going better in my life, and then I would somehow want to take credit for it and think that, you know, I've been mostly successful in a lot of areas of my life, that, you know, I must be doing things right again. And every time I got that attitude, things didn't go so good for me anymore. So I have recently given it all God all the glory and completely focus on what he has in store for me. And I've just experienced the death of a close friend. I've got some stuff going on at work. There's all sorts of things going on, and there's a reason they call it a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I'm just going to close with this. Speaking of not being able to understand, friends of mine have seen me on again, off again with church, you know, my life on again, off again. And some people are a little skeptical right now, and they want to know, hey, well, what's different this time? And there is really nothing different this time, other than the fact that I am giving God all the glory and not trying to orchestrate things on my own will. And that really speaks of what Keith said about the possibility of a radical transformation or even a transaction. And I can't explain it to anybody, but it happened to me. And there's been no struggles. It's been amazing that I've experienced in the past. And God just said, you know, you're done with all that. The old is gone and the new is here. And thank you for everybody here in the church and everybody being here in my awesome men's group. And I'm really humbled to have the opportunity to share with everybody today. Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon. Hey, stay here a minute. It would be an honor to pray over this guy, okay? Can we all just pray for him? And thank you for sharing your story. Man, I don't know all the tidbits in there of just, there was so much tidbits of wisdom, which is what we've been talking about, and just direction we can take for our own lives. So thank you for that. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for Brandon being brave to stand up here and to share a part of his story. That is not easy to do, but Lord, you have told us that we come together to encourage one another. And Lord, how else can it happen without singing your praises and just talking about what you're doing in our life? And I know it's not a comfortable thing, but Lord, I just thank you for him and his story and the words you gave him. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in his life. And Lord, I just pray protection over him. I pray blessings over him. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill him, even right now in this moment, to just give him a strength that he cannot even understand, to just keep walking with you and for you. And Lord, we've talked, Brandon and I, he's got dreams, he's got plans. He's being really patient with that and wanting you to lead it. But Lord, it's all for you. And he's got some great thoughts that you brought to his mind and heart. So I just pray, Lord, that you would bring those right things to fruition. And Lord, just thank you for him again. We pray all this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you, man. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And as they're coming up, we've got a minute or two. Does anybody just have, you know, last Sunday we talked about being more aware of what God's doing. So anybody just have anything that the Lord's been doing, just brief thing or?
Yeah, I just wanted to share.
Just use this, please.
Yes. I just wanted to share, you know,
is this on? There yeah. We go. You know, with Brandon, he mentioned our men's group. You know, just seeing what God is doing in our men's group has been pretty awesome to, you know, to have God meet me in a place and transform my heart and my life similar to Brandon's. It's cool to see the domino effect and what happens when we go all in, when we're all in and we seek God. It's just cool being a part of it. And God's definitely has his hand on this church, in this community, and he's doing big things, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Amen. All right. Let's stand in worship.